You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
First Corinthians 13 verse 6. I mean, a Wednesday was great. That the blind date drama, excellent. They turned it around in a short span of time. It was amazing, man. And so we really did enjoy that. God has been good. More than a few years ago, some of you will remember this, many of you won't because you wasn't here, but many years ago, I preached a sermon. Now, as a preacher, you always want to influence people when you're preaching. You don't want to preach and then people just forget it, you know, as soon as they leave the building. But many years ago, I preached a sermon, and I would say in some way, shape, or form, it did kind of leave a remnant, or should I say, a lasting influence, because even after I preached the sermon, people would still use the title of the sermon. And the sermon was called Loving Truth. How many remember that sermon? Loving Truth. And the reason why I said it, people used to say to people, like, bro, love truth. How many remember that? Amen. The core. That's the core there, man. And so what we were talking about, loving truth, was we weren't just talking about don't lie. We've heard that, don't lie. We grew up, don't lie. We know that. But when we talk about loving truth, we're saying we wanted truth to really be the goal. Now, let me give you an illustration here. Imagine before the service, I came up on the stage and I started to shuffle some of the chairs around. And as I was shuffling the chairs around, I knocked one of the lights and I picked it up and I dropped it by accident and I broke the light. And so it's broke. And so rather than say anything to anybody, I just kind of tucked it in the corner and just walked away, like, you know, and like nothing happened. And so while I'm over here pretending like, you know, I notice one of the, either Martin or Callum, they come over here and they're looking at the light, they're picking it up, looking at it, thinking what's happened. And the whole time I see them doing that, you know, Callum scratching his head. He's like, what's happened with this? Callum, when he came down, just want to say, when he came down the stairs on Wednesday, ain't no joke. Anyway, don't worry, I'll give you a tenner later for that. And so imagine he's looking at the light, and then I come up, like, I just walk over there, and then he says to me, Pastor, I think we're going to have to get a new light. This light is faulty. How many know I should fess up? Look at someone and say, fess up. You, how many know I should say, you know, actually, bro, I broke the light. But imagine if I just said, oh, yeah, bro, yeah. Yeah, it's 40, yeah? Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. Now, have I lied? Some of you would be like, no, that's not lying. I actually haven't told a lie, but how many know I'm not loving truth? I'm allowing him to believe something that I know is not fully true. This was what we spoke about. Everybody has lied. How many know we've all lied? And if you don't say yes, then you're lying now. We've all lied. As a Christian, when we get saved, sometimes these are one of the things that we kind of struggle with the most. We got rid of the smoking weed. How many know Christians shouldn't be smoking weed? I thought I'd get a stronger amen than that. Maybe there's some puffers in the house. Some Rizla papers between the Bible pages. I don't know. But listen. We get rid of the weed, we get rid of getting drunk and sleeping around and fighting and stealing, but sometimes the thing that doesn't go so soon is the lying, because it's one of those things that's under the surface. If you've got kids, you'll know that you do not have to teach people to lie. I mean, all your kids will lie to you, but you didn't teach them to lie, but they just lie because it's part of us, it's in us. The Bible speaks about lying from Genesis to Revelation. From the very beginning, we see in Genesis lying all the way down to Revelation. The Bible says, all liars will be thrown into the lake of fire, along with the father of lies, who is the devil. Now, why am I speaking about lies when we're in this series called Love Is? Because the Bible is going to tell us that along with some of the other stuff we've been talking about, the first week we said love is able to put self on pause. Remember, we spoke about that. Love is able to put self on pause so I can care for someone else. Last week, what I spoke about is love can take pain. Love is able to have a high pain threshold, that I can go through some pain. If me helping you means it's going to be uncomfortable and painful for me, if I really love you, I'll go through it. But today I want to say that love is also truth. Love is truth. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 6, the Bible says this. This is speaking about love. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. We thank you for this special service. We thank you for these families, these children that have been dedicated unto you, Lord God. We believe that your hand is going to be upon them. We thank you that we can gather in your house and hear your word. We thank you that your spirit is here ministering to us. We feel your presence. I pray, Father, that you would magnify yourself, magnify your word, save those, rescue those, encourage those, and correct those that need it. We ask you this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, and the real disciples said, amen. I'm going to change that now. That's my new one, the new disciples. Love in truth. The Bible says here that love rejoices in truth. And I want to say to you today is that you cannot love somebody without honesty. You cannot be in a lasting, loving relationship without honesty. There has to be honesty there. There has to be openness. When I was a younger man in the, you know, the 90s, there was a song called Real Love. And so we don't know singing it, whining and dancing and whatever. But, you know, that's a real love. I want real love. And so what it was meaning, I don't know lying love. No one's singing, I want lying love. No one is singing that song. What they're saying is for us to have love, there has to be true love, honesty, openness. The Bible says in Proverbs 26, verse 28, a lying tongue hates those who are cursed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. You cannot love people that you are lying to and trying to deceive them. I've got an image. Could we put that first image up? Image number one, could we get that up? And so this image I'm going to show you here. If it comes out, okay, so you got it there. This is a story that recently came out. And so what happened was, this is a woman who is married to women. But she actually told these women she was a man. So in the middle there, with the headgear on, that's a woman, and she's married. I don't know if they're the two wives by the side. A woman pretended to be a man, married two women. Obviously, it's in India somewhere. And so the reason she did this, she did it for the diary. She just wanted to get the money. And so she's lying. How many know you cannot build a lasting relationship on lies? You cannot start a relationship on lies. And so obviously she got caught out. Next slide, please. This one is a little bit more deeper. This guy, his name is Adrian Liam. Adrian Liam, basically he married this woman called Liz. And so Adrian Liam married this woman called Liz. And so it's actually his second wife, because he was married for 10 years before, but he got a divorce. She eventually divorced him. And so he married this woman. Here you see him here marrying this woman, Liz. And so they were, from her perspective, they were happily married for 7 years. They had a child together. She'd had a miscarriage. And then she said she kind of thought maybe something wasn't fully right, but you know, all things considered, they had a lasting relationship. 7 years they've been married. And so one day she got a letter from Adrian's mother, this guy's mother, and the letter said, "I'm sorry to hear that you and my son have got divorced. And I just wanted to see how you was doing, because obviously we know that he's just got remarried." So this is, so imagine now, wife, your husband is just, you know, he's going out, he's living, and you get a message from his mother. So what happened was, she goes onto his Facebook and she finds pictures of his wedding on his Facebook. He's gone basically and married another woman in Mexico. Let's go to the next slide. He married this other woman, Haley. This is him looks like he's having a good time, but we won't, anyway. Basically, he marries this woman in Mexico. He had the audacity. He married this woman in the same place he took his first wife on honeymoon. The very same place. He's got these pictures on his Facebook. He had lied to his first wife saying that, you know what, I've got this new job as a diver and I have to go away. And so he was going away a lot. He actually tricked his first wife to help him decorate his second wife's house. Some of you want to kill this brother. Some of you are like, oh my days. Not only that, when his first wife had a miscarriage, she's devastated. He said, oh, I've got to go to work. Sorry, I'd love to stay here. And he ran off and he was staying with his second wife. What happened was, obviously, she said, she rung him up and she said, I've seen the pictures. And he had the audacity to say, no, you're my only wife. I don't have any other wives. She didn't, she said, you know what, I'm not going to speak to you again. And he actually went to court and they convicted him and he spent nearly a year in prison for what he had done, deceiving his wife. Sometimes lying is a stronghold in some people's lives. Lying, the Bible says, is a demonic force behind it. And there are some people here, you may need deliverance from lying. Here is this guy caught, banged to rights. Let's take his face off now because people are getting angrier and angrier. Some women in here, they're like, I'm going to smash the screen or something. It says, yeah, amen. That's right. Let's put that one on. And so here is this man caught, banged to rights. You think when his wife called him and said, listen, blah, 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 we've caught you. This is what's happened. Even then he says, no, you're my only wife. I don't have any other wives. I love you with everything. Trust me, you know me. He would lie in her face like this. He goes to prison and the second wife, Haley, she actually sticks by him. Even though he was lying to her. On Christmas Day, he said to her, oh, my mom died, so I've got to go. His mom had not died. But he went to prison, he comes out, she. How many of us are fool every minute? 2 Corinthians, listen to what it says, 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14, because I'm speaking about lying being basically demonic. He says, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. So he says, when the devil comes and attacks us, the devil doesn't come with these fangs, and the devil doesn't come with these horns and a pitchfork, and it's like saliva, and like, ha, ha, ha. That's not how the devil comes. When the devil comes to attack, the Bible says he comes as an angel of light, offering what you think you want. And then he goes on, he says, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, the people that are influenced by him, also themselves transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. That means there are people that are going to come into your life and they're going to tell you everything you want to hear and they're going to seem like they're righteous, but really they're just lying and deceiving you. First John 4 verse 1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit. Look at someone and say, test the spirit. Some of you need to test the spirit. You need to test what things going on here. Hold on. Just because somebody says something, it doesn't mean I believe it. And let me just go a bit further. Just because someone has a title of a pastor or a bishop or some other religious thing, I'm not going to listen to them just because they say something. You better open your Bible and prove it's in your Bible. I don't want nobody in this congregation walking around Wandsworth saying stuff. And then someone says to you, why? You say, because pastor said. Listen, you'll be damned if you carry on with that. You've got to say, no, no, no. I went to church and the pastor opened his Bible and he said this and I went home and I researched it and I read it for myself and I found it to be true. People are watching things on on the internet, on YouTube, and they're looking at things. They spend 5 hours looking at something on YouTube and 1 second in your Bible. You'll be deceived. The Bible says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit. whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. When we bring this into relationships, there are people that will come into your life and they will lie to you. Recently, someone was telling me a story. Here is a righteous man. He's trying to help somebody. The person said, oh, no, I'm not feeling them. Why? Why are you not feeling them? Oh, maybe the way they dress, maybe the way they talk. Maybe is anything wrong with what they said? Is it Bible? No, everything they said is Bible, but I'm just not feeling them. And so you reject truth because it doesn't appeal to your whatever, your fashion or your ethnic thing or whatever the type of people you like to hang with. Then someone comes that's like you, who's snazzy, who's tall, who's dressed well, whatnot, and then they suck you into, get you into trouble. They try to implement you and get you into their thing. And this is how we can be sometimes, is that we're not analyzing truth. We're looking at things, and people get involved with people simply because how they look. Simply because of how she looks. Simply because the car he drives. Simply because of something which is so shallow. And then you realize, hold up. Before you know it, you've been lied to. The first wife, Liz, she says in the article, she says, I don't know if I could ever love anybody again. She says, every day I feel unattractive. She says, if your husband lies to you like this, who can you trust? This woman's life is devastated. See, I want to speak about loving truth with others, but let me move from that to loving truth with self. And I was thinking, why do people lie? I think a few reasons why people lie is they want a quick fix. You're in a situation and you want to fix it quick. You want to fix it the easy way rather than the hard way. Sometimes the right way is the hard way and the wrong way is the easy way. How many know that's part of life? People always say to me, I say, Pastor, what should I do? And I'm like, you got to tell the truth. And let me throw this out there. If you're ever implemented in something and you think, let me call Pastor, what should I do? Tell the truth. I'm going to tell you to tell the truth because that's what you should do. But Pastor, it's easier said than done. Listen, most things are easier said than done, but that doesn't discredit that they should be done. Many people lie because they want to get their own way or they want to please other people. If you're a people pleaser, you'll constantly be challenged and you'll lie because you'll want to tell people what they want to hear. Do these jeans, do I look good in these jeans? Let's leave it there. If you're a husband, you better learn to just say the right thing. That's what I'm going to say. Many people lie because they want to cover their sin. People think that lying is a small thing, but can I tell you, lying is going to bring big problems. Because lying exposes a lack of character. We live in a world today which talks a lot about personality, which talks a lot about charisma, which talks a lot about how I feel and how he made me feel. But what we don't talk about many times is character. Character is the ability to do the right thing even when it's hard. Not only that, character is the ability to do the right thing when it's hard and nobody is looking. Recently, I've been doing some DIY in our home and my wife went to Wilco's and she bought some of these containers, like some sort of storage container, like they're pretty little containers. And so she bought them, and then we decided, okay, they're not going to fit in what we're doing. So she said, okay, I'll take them back. And so she looked at the receipt, and she realized she had bought three or four, I can't remember, but she had only been charged for one. So really, she could have just took one back, got the refund, and kept the two or three. No one would have known. But my wife, you know, it's not like we even deliberately, what should we do, you know? So I didn't even realize what she did. So she took them back the other day. So she came home the other day and she said to me, you know what, I took those containers back. Remember the containers that we didn't want? She said, yeah. She said, and the woman was like, wow, that you would come back. You could have, she just rehearsed it. You could have just given us one back, got the refund, and kept the others. And my wife said to her, no, I couldn't do that because I'm a Christian. And my wife gave her the gospel. And that's what basically we need, because the reality is some people would have been like, God is blessing me. God bless me up in here, man. The inheritance of the unrighteous will be the righteous. God's blessing me up in here. Listen, God ain't blessing nobody. God is testing you to see if you're willing to be truthful, maybe. From that time to time, I sold something. I remember not long ago, I sold something, and this guy, I purchased something. That was it. I purchased something. And so the guy was counting the money. And as I gave him the money, he miscounted it by £100, meaning basically he had overcounted it by £100. And so I could have been like, "Yeah, that's it, man. Oh, you got your money there." And I was like, "No, you, I've got to give you another 100." He's like, "No, I've counted it." I said, "Count it again. You, this is wrong, because I've got an extra 100 here, unless God did a miracle." And when he counted it again, he realized, no, he had undercounted it by £100. See, what God is looking for is truth. We need to be people of truth. Love needs truth. Can I tell you, without truth, society breaks down. If we have to double check everything that everybody does, and we could never trust anybody, society breaks down. This is why God is so into truth, because he says, without truth, you won't be able to stick together and accomplish what I've made you to do. And in a relationship, truth is what's going to keep you together. You need to look for someone who is honest, who has the ability to love, and has the ability to tell the truth. How many know sometimes telling the truth is difficult? When you've made a mistake and your back's against the wall, it'd be so easy just to say, no, I didn't do that. But you got to tell the truth. The Bible says this, Proverbs 12, verse 9. Truthful lips shall be established forever, but the lying tongue is but for a moment. You know what he's saying is, you can lie and get through something for a moment, but you will not last. It will not last. It will come back to bite. I've seen this time and time and time and time and time again, where people have lied. And sometimes people have lied upon lie upon lie upon lie upon lie. But it always comes out. It always gets uncovered. It always gets exposed. And when it does, it hurts more than if you just told the truth in the beginning. Back to the story with this guy, Adrian. When he comes out of prison, he goes back with his second wife that he married, you know, behind his first wife's back. He moves in with Haley. And so while he's there with Haley, he's actually doing his shenanigans again. So I'm saying Haley should have kicked him out, man. Should have said, hold up, you're lying. No. You're too liared. Can't be handling that. What she does is, She doesn't know that this is happening, but the woman that he's trying to marry, another woman, she's actually a little bit more switched on. She's like, how come he's not here? How come he goes there? How come he does this? She does some research. She finds out that he's with this woman, Haley. He contacts her. Both of these women kick him out. He has to move back in with his mom. He's 44 years of age. No career, no investments, no nothing. Just a catalogue of devastated women. You've hurt and destroyed women with your lies. He starts to become more and more depressed because of the condition of his life. He takes an overdose and he's standing on a bridge, and people see him and they call the authorities, and what they do is they get him and they take him to some type of psychiatric analysis, and they're talking to him. They're saying, what's going on? What's going on in your life? What's going on? Why is it? What's happening here? And he says, I'm fine. And he's such a good liar, he convinces them now that he's okay. And one day he gets up, tells his mom, I love you, I'm okay, everything's all right. And he leaves the house, and his mom gets a call from the police saying, your son has been found hanged in a field. He hanged himself. They say, obviously they inform all the people. His first wife, Liz, says, "You know what? I don't know exactly how I feel about this." He says, "My daughter is going to grow up without really knowing her father." She said, "To be honest, I never knew the father." And she said, "What's happening is his lies, when he needed help, when those people could have helped him, he was so good at lying, his lying sealed his fate." I want to say to you today is that you cannot lie and love at the same time. You cannot seek to deceive people. But I want to say there is hope. There is hope in Christ. See, to come to God, you don't need to be perfect. Did you know that? How many know that's good news? How many know if you had to be perfect to come to God, ain't nobody here? These chairs would be empty, and this stage would be empty. Nobody's here. Me, you, nobody's here. You don't have to be perfect to come to God, but you do have to be honest. For you to come to God, you've got to come to a place where you say, "God, I'm going to be honest with you." You can't be living a double life. You can't be... What's the biggest accusation people put against the church? What have we all heard? The church... I'm not going to church. Church are full of... hypocrites. Where did they get that from? They didn't make it up. The world, because they've seen people that go to church, but when they're not in church, they're living another type of life, which is a lie. Some of you are like, "Why is he preaching this up in the church?" Listen, we need to start preaching this in the church so that when we go out into the world, people will say, "Listen, no, those people are honest. We're not into their Jesus. We don't care. They're always talking about the Bible. They love prayer too much. They always want to hug everybody. But they're honest. They're honest. They're honest to their wives. They're honest to their husbands. They're honest to their children. They're honest to their boss. Honest with their money. Honest in their education. When you're filling out that form. Listen, man, you didn't get no A. Stop lying. Honest with your car insurance. You ain't got no insurance. Hey, let me borrow your ride. I'm fully comp. You ain't no fully comp. Fully compromised. Lying. We got to be honest in our tax. Listen, those of you, some of you don't, that goes over your head. Listen, I've had to pay my tax. Like, to declare to the government what I earn. When you work for someone and they just take the tax, it's simple. When you got to tell the tax man, listen, you feel a whole nother level of temptation. I'm telling you now. I'm just being real with you. We need to be honest people. God is not looking for perfect people, but he's looking for people that are honest, that will come to him and say, "God, I'm messed up. God, I'm weak. God, I need your help. God, I need you to help me because I sin, I lie, I deceive people, I lack character." The Bible says in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If I will admit to God and say, "God, you know what? I've sinned." The Bible says confession is being honest. That's what confession is. We're not talking about going into a box and there's another dude the other side and you're like, "Hey, God, forgive me, Father, I've sinned." Oh, yeah, God's like, no, that's what he's saying is, come to God. You don't need to confess to man. You confess to God. You don't need to go through man to get to God. The Bible says there is one mediator between man and God, that's Jesus Christ. You confess to Jesus. You don't have to run up here, "Pastor, I've done this, I've done that. Listen, I don't need to know. Sometimes you don't need to tell me. Well, everything that's going on. But you come to God and you say, "God, this is where I am. I'm honest." The Bible says that he's faithful and just to forgive. He's going to forgive you. That means he's going to wipe the slate clean. He's going to forgive you like it never happened. He's going to forgive you. Every lie you've committed, he'll forgive you. Then he said he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What it means is that he's going to make you righteous. He's going to make you do the right thing. He's going to make you tell the truth. He's going to help you to be honest. He's going to give you the strength and the ability to do the right thing. He's going to make you righteous. Can I tell you, and I've said it 100 times and I will say it 100 times more, there's only 2 types of righteousness. There's either man-made righteousness, where you would sit in your seat and say, I'm righteous. That's called self-righteousness. Nobody don't like no self-righteousness. Or there's only another type of righteousness, is God-made righteousness, where I come to God and say, God, I've sinned, forgive me. The Bible says he will forgive me and make me righteous. As I stand before you today, I am righteous in God. I'm not condemned. I'm not under the weight of guilt. I don't have to walk around my head down and feeling like any minute God's going to expose me. People are going to find out who I really am. No. Listen, I'll tell you who I am. I'm jacked up. That's who I am. But I confessed all of my sins to Jesus. And he is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me. See, some of you here, maybe you haven't locked into that yet. You see him. Listen, when you come into real reality about who you really are, you're going to realize, listen, that's what I need. Not that God is looking for someone perfect, but that God is looking for someone who is honest about their sin and who is willing to confess. See, no matter what you've done, God can restore you. But what he's waiting for today is truth. He's waiting for you to be honest today. See, God only speaks one language. If you've ever gone to a country where they don't speak English and you're trying to get somewhere, it's very difficult. It's very, 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 very difficult. I remember when I went to Mongolia to preach last year and I had to go to Beijing. And I was just in the airport, and when I was coming back, my phone went missing. And I was trying to call my wife, like, you won't be able to get in touch with me. I went to the phone. Just the phone box was mad. It just looked mad. How do you even use this phone box? And I wanted to ask somebody. And God only speaks one language. He only speaks the language of truth. If you come to God without truth, he doesn't hear you. All he's looking for is truth. If I will come to God and just admit, this is who I am. This is who I really am. God's like, that's all I need. That's all I need. I just need you to confess. The word confess is mean call it as it is. That's what God is just, call it as it is. Just be real with God. You know, people talk about keeping it real. Many times the people that say that are the most fake people. I'm just keeping it real. No, you're just keeping it selfish. That's what you mean. Last scripture, John 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, you notice that the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is identified as the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you the things to come. Can I tell you what we need is to come to God in all truth. And the Bible says that if we will come to God with truth, that God's Spirit will come upon us and he will lead us in truth. He's the one that's going to enable you to be in truth. The Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth will, real freedom is going to come from truth. This is what's going to make you someone who can really love people. If you think that you're loving someone right now, but you're not honest with them, you're not being who you really are. You know, we all put our best foot forward. I know, ladies, you put on your makeup, and guys, you do whatever you do, put on your deodorant. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you start to deceive somebody by pretending to be something you're not, you're only setting yourself up for a fall. That's not, you don't really love them, and they can't love you because they don't know who you are. You're setting yourself up. But if we would come to God, start with God. And he said, let me come to God. God, I've just got to be honest with you. I've got to be honest with you. I'm a sinner. I need salvation. God forgives you, cleanses you, and then he strengthens you to be who you really are in him. And then you can really love somebody and someone can really love you. Amen. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk. We hope you've been blessed, edified and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.